Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish On Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300, and you can follow our main account at On Tap Irish. Today, we'll be breaking down the 21-10 defeat at Ohio State, and then we'll be getting into this week's matchup up against Marshall, a little bit of an easier opponent, but first things first, the Fighting Irish traveled to Ohio last Saturday to play against Ohio State. It was the primetime game, the ABC game, 7 o'clock. And honestly, like, all leading up to the game, you probably heard it in my voice last week on the podcast, I talked about how it was a winnable game and how if we could control the line of scrimmage, run the football well, take the time of possession battle in our favor, then that could be anybody's game. And honestly, it went exactly how I said it would, except for the fact that we did not win the game. But offensively, on the offensive line, they were moving bodies. Defensively, on the defensive line, they played a phenomenal game. But eventually, Ohio State's going to score points. It's hard to keep them out of the end zone. And I said we were going to need probably 35 points to win the game. I was way off. We needed 22. And that's the thing that stings the most is that I've seen this Notre Dame team put up 22 times a million times over, or 22 points a million times over in my life. And the Ohio State defense brought it. The offense just quite simply didn't have it. I wasn't really a huge fan of the play calling and then obviously the usage of the backs. I think anytime you go into a game like that with Chris Tyree only getting 6 carries, and I want to say he had a few receptions, he had 1 reception, so 7 touches, where Chris Tyree is arguably the fastest player in that backfield, right? Probably the second or third fastest on the offense if you throw Stiles and Lindsey in there. But then again, that leads me to my next point. Lorenzo Stiles, 1 catch, first pass of the game, 54 yards. Couldn't get him involved at any other point in the game plan, so that was very frustrating. And then Braden Lindsey didn't get his solo catch until probably midway through the third quarter, or maybe it was even in the fourth quarter. So I wasn't a huge fan of the way the offense executed. They only had 177 passing yards from Buckner. Buckner had 11 carries for 18 yards. And with the Ohio State defense, you know you're going to get speed. You know you're going to get athleticism. And you know you're going to get a crazy, crazy hostile environment at Ohio State week one, first game of the season. Essentially, it's a college football playoff game, if you will. Now, I won't say that we're eliminated from the college football playoff, but before I start talking about us being in the college football playoff, let's put a win in the win column, and then we'll take the rest from there. The way I look at it is the offense has to be better, and I think with the opponent that we have this upcoming weekend, it's a good get-right spot, a good rhythm game, a good let's-put-up-50-points game, if you understand what I'm saying. But back to the Ohio State game, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, you really saw some fight. Early, we saw them targeting, I believe it was either Clarence Lewis or no, it was Cam Hart. Clarence Lewis played fine. Tariq Bracey played a phenomenal game in a slot role, and he had a lot of tackles. He was all over the field, looked great out there. But it looked like early they were going to target Cam Hart after they got that gash reception on that first drive. And honestly, I had shades of Dante Vaughn from the Clemson game a few years ago, but Cam Hart, he didn't play his best game, but he also didn't play his worst game. So he was somewhere in the middle. He was able to get stuff done. And then on the defensive side of the ball, yeah, like I said, Clarence Lewis did his thing. He had 7 total tackles, 6 solo. Maurice Lefau looked great in his new role. And then obviously Bo Bauer brought the boom, brought the energy, and brought everything in between. It's great to see Bo Bauer back out there, especially in a captain role. Some newcomers on the defense that looked phenomenal. Benjamin Morrison in the secondary looked great. Freshman out there. Imagine that. You're a freshman, true freshman. It's your first game in college football. And you're not playing against UMass. You're not playing against one of these scrub teams, these cupcake teams that these teams schedule week one. You are playing against Ohio State at Ohio State. Welcome to Notre Dame, and a hell of a performance by Benjamin Morrison out of the secondary. Look forward to seeing what he does against Marshall this week. It sucks because we lost, but honestly, you know, you go into this game 17-point underdogs. the bat handle on Ohio State was just ridiculous. Like, I don't even know the percentage, but I can only assume it was probably 80% plus. And first game regular season for your head coach, and you come away with a frustrating and disappointing loss, but you have to think when they got back into that film room this week, they're kicking themselves even more because they know it was such a winnable game. I think that's the thing that really killed me after the game was like, usually in this spot, we usually get, thumped. We've seen it time and time again over the last 20 years, 30, pushing 40 now, shit, because 88 just keeps getting further and further away, where Notre Dame's not able to answer the call in these big games. And it doesn't matter who the coach is, they just simply get thumped. I have never personally seen in my 28 years of life Notre Dame beat Ohio State. I, for various long parts of the night on Saturday, thought that that was going to be the night that it was going to happen. And unfortunately, it wasn't. But a lot to hang our head on. Not really, Coach Freeman said it. We're not moral victory guys. I'm not a moral victory guy myself either. But a very favorable schedule. Clemson didn't look great in week one. That's a team that we face later on in the season. That could be a redemption spot for us to get back into the good grace of the committee. But I just think I want to see more attacking. I want to see more of Tyler Buchner out there throwing the football. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't have any interceptions, but he also didn't have any touchdowns. The lone touchdown on the day came from Audric Estime, who, by all accounts, appeared to be the starting running back. I don't know if Freeman wanted to go with more of a heavy set and try and pound the rock that way, but whatever the case was, it didn't really work out. The touchdown that Estime got this game was from the fullback position too. So I was a little puzzled at the way that the personnel was, and then obviously the attacking. Now, obviously, I'm not in those meeting rooms, and I'm not seeing all of what was seen in the secondary. Obviously, Ohio State has great players on their defense, but I just feel you could have gotten guys like Stiles and Lindsey and Tyree involved more. Michael Meyer only had five catches for 32 yards, and one of those catches was a 17-yarder. Honestly, if you look at the passing game for what it is, Bauman had a 22-yarder, Salerno had a 31-yarder, Meyer had a 17-yarder, Lindsey had a 32-yarder, and Stiles had a 54-yarder. Outside of Michael Meyer having five receptions, no other pass catcher on Notre Dame had more than one catch. And outside of Tyree, all of those catches were for 20 yards plus. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the plays were there. They were making plays, but it feels like they just kind of gave up, I guess. I wouldn't say gave up, but it doesn't make sense that you can have a 54-yarder for one guy, a 32-yarder for another guy. Salerno made arguably the catch of the year, and that's a guy that was a walk-on. And then you even get the backup tight end involved with a 22-yarder, and you couldn't continue to feed those guys. It was frustrating to see the drives ended the way that end the way that they ended. And then, the defense goes out, they put their four fingers in the dirt, and they go out there and they do their thing. And then we end up back in the same spot where, we could pick up a couple first downs and then get across the 50, or maybe not even across the 50, and then don't score. So it's frustrating, but it is what it is. We lost to Ohio State. We cannot feel sorry for ourselves. We cannot sit here and afford to drop two in a row. So we are on to Marshall. Offensive player of the game. I'm going to go offensive line. It's not their fault that we couldn't capitalize on their great play. And I mean, you would only hope that the offensive line goes into next week with that same mentality. But I want to see playmakers. I want to see Braden Lindsey get the ball. I want to see Tyler Buchner in space running the football on RPOs. I want to see a better version of whatever the hell our backfield's going to be this year, because it's clearly not just going to be one guy. So whatever we're looking to do in the running attack, I want to see that way more next week. We only had 76 yards on 30 carries. So going to have to get after it and find a way to move the ball down the field. But on the defensive side of the ball, It's close. You hold Ohio State to 21 points, and you sit here and think that nobody else is going to do that for the rest of the season. Maybe if they get to the college football playoff, it could happen there. But I truly think that defensively, this team put everything forward. And if you were to tell me going into last week, if we held Ohio State to 21 points, that if we would win the game, I would say yes. But we didn't. And on the defensive side of the ball, I'll go Clarence Lewis, 7 total tackles, 6 solos. One of the older guys in that secondary and someone that we're going to have to lean on this year. Special teams, John Sott had 8 punts for 370 yards, so, and he had some nukes out there. So his ability to flip the field and not allow Ohio State to have great field position to start drives really helped keep the defense with ideal field position to start in and hold Ohio State to only 3 touchdowns throughout the game. So, John Sott, hopefully we won't ever have to see him punt 8 times in a game again, but he answered the call and averaged 46 yards per punt, had the second longest punt of the college football season so far at 75 yards. You got a shout out from Pat McAfee. So if you guys follow the punter world, you know if you get a shout out from Pat McAfee, nothing else matters. But that's enough of Ohio State talk. We are on to Marshall this Saturday, 1:30. It's a home game against Marshall. Thundering Herd come into this game at 1-0. And in their first game, they beat Norfolk State 55-3. Norfolk State is not a Division I college, so don't get alarmed that Marshall is some sort of wagon. But they're 1-0. We're 0-1. We need to win a football game, and they probably want to win against Notre Dame as it's one of the bigger games on their schedule. But I just ultimately, I just don't think that that's going to happen for them. Going into this game, Notre Dame is a 20-point or a 20.5-point favorite. Can't forget the half because that stuff does matter in gambling. We only dropped 2 spots in the ranking. So I think that the committee, and or not even the committee, but the AP and everyone in the media kind of realizes, like, hey, Ohio State probably going to be a top 4 team in this country all year long. Notre Dame should not be punished to the fullest extent for having them as their week one opponent. So we only slide down 2 spots. We come into this game minus 20.5. So they got to win by 3 touchdowns to cover. The over-under is 51 points. It's intriguing. I think the defense probably holds Marshall to under 21 points, if not even less. But the offense expected to have an eruption this week. Like Marshall, they simply do not have the athletes that we have, right? And then you think about this, like a lot of times college is momentum, but also we see it year in and year out that a team that maybe lost their first game, maybe had a losing streak throughout the year, whatever it may be, they have that one game where they just absolutely erupt. And as a Notre Dame fan, we always have this one game at home in September. The weather's still nice. You don't even have to wear a coat to the game. The sun is shining like all hell. Like I can only imagine when I turn my TV on Saturday, I'll see the sun through my screen because that's, I just always throw it back to like that Will Fuller touchdown against Temple or something like that. Like that shot, that picture, if you can imagine it. That's what September football looks like in Notre Dame. And I can only imagine it's going to be a great day to be out there, and it's going to be a great day to be Irish. I think in this game, it ultimately comes down to not if we'll beat them, but by how many. And I think 21 is, or 20.5 is a very bettable number for me. It'll probably end up in my bet slip. But I think on the offensive side of the ball, for Tyler Buckner, it's a very important game. Yeah, it's Marshall. We're going to win this game, right? But for Tyler Buckner, he needs to develop chemistry with his receivers, chemistry with Michael Meyer. And then, two, he needs to just take it all in. Like, you're the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. You're a young kid. It's only your second or third year here on campus, but you are now the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. And with that job comes a lot of responsibility. And what better team to go out than in week two against a group of five opponent than to go out and establish your dominance? go out there and run the ball 10 times. Throw the ball 20, go 20 for 25 through the air. Throw for over 200 yards and have 50 plus on the ground. Like, let's see Tyler Buchner play the level of football that he played at the high school level in this game. Let's see him remember that he plays football at Notre Dame and he is the starting quarterback. I think if you can get Lindsey and Styles involved early, and then you'll always have Meyer over the middle, this could be a game that we put up 30 or 40 points. And then two at the running back position, like I talked about earlier, like I don't really know what the workload's going to be like. We only really saw that one game with Estime getting majority of the carries. You have Chris Tyree, you have Logan Diggs. So there's always going to be someone in that backfield that's capable for whatever situation or scenario you may have. It looks like Estime may be the short yardage guy and could potentially be used at fullback for more than just in the red zone. And then Chris Tyree is kind of the gadget guy, the guy that they'll line up in the slot and run end rounds with, or they'll run the RPOs with, because he does have that speed to get around the edge. It's tough to get once he's past you. You can't really catch him from behind. And then Logan Diggs is kind of the wild card. He can do a little bit of both. He's a little bit quick. He's a little bit strong. It's the best, I guess you would say, problem to have for your offense is three capable backs that can come in and do what they need to do. As much as I say the game is important for the running game, it's 10 times more important for Tyler Buchner to get all of his receivers on the same page. And Michael Meyer, who, you know, is one of the best players in the country, probably the best tight end in the nation. So find a way for all these players to get some touches out there on Saturday. And why not have the starters out by the end of the third quarter? You know, have a fourth quarter where you get Drew Pine in there, you get some of the backup players in there, and they start doing what they need to do to get up to speed as well. For Notre Dame on defense, they're going to be going up against, it was a high scoring offense last year, and they did put up 55 points in week one. So, I mean, for me, I would like to see them keep Marshall under 21 total points. Let me look up and see what the books have as like the projected point total for Marshall this week, because it's got to be a headache for them to make. You know, you see them score 55 points in week one, but then in week two, you go travel to Notre Dame and you're playing up against a defense that held Ohio State to 21 points. So I would imagine that the point total for them would be somewhere, oh, here we go, somewhere in the 14 to 17 range. Let's see. Yeah, 14 and a half. So they're saying, that Notre Dame could keep them to under two touchdowns, which I think it's not a terrible bet. It's a sweat, though. You know, it's a fucking sweat. That's not that many points. Like, if they score a touchdown early on that in the first drive of the game for them, you're sweating that thing for the rest of the way out. But they have Notre Dame's team total at 36 and a half points, which I actually think is a low number for them. I think they could end up anywhere from 35 to, let's say, 45 or 50. So, and you know, Marcus Freeman is anxious to get that first win underneath his belt. And it's too early in the era of Freeman to really judge how these games reflect on him. But once you get that first win in the win column, I think they start to come a lot easier. And he didn't really have, he had two top 10 games for his first two games as the head coach of Notre Dame. He goes 0-2, but we're on to Marshall, like I said. And for my score prediction, I truly think this is a blowout. This is a rout. I got Notre Dame winning this one 49. I say they go one shy of 50. I say seven touchdowns. Nah, that's too square. That's too square. Notre Dame 52. We get a field goal out of it. Seven touchdowns. So I just add a field goal at the end of it. And Marshall 14. I think Notre Dame covers this spread. I will be most likely betting the team total and the spread, maybe some props too. I get real real nasty with it when it comes to my team, but also too, I went 18-12 this past week and week zero as well on college football. So if you want college football picks, find me on Saturday morning. I usually release the picks by slate. So like I'll go 11 o'clock hour, I'll throw some picks out, 2 o'clock, I'll throw some picks out, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever the hours are. And then sometimes if I'm feeling real nasty, I'll stay up and bet those late slate games. I went Jeff Fisher last week. I had Kent State and I had Oregon State. So I went 1-1 that late slate. But 18-12 for week zero and week one, looking to keep that momentum going. And then obviously, too, I have NFL picks as well. But for me, throw minus 20.5 on my card and give me the Notre Dame team total over 36.5 points. Two auto bets for me. And Notre Dame is 1-0 at covering spreads this year. I did take their spread, but also their money line. So last week was 1-1 on the game. And then two, if you will, I did take Chris Tyree's rushing. So to be 1-2. But the Notre Dame money line was a free bet, so I don't lose any money on that. But like I said, 52-14. Offensive key player, if you will, I'll say Tyler Buchner. I want to see over 300 total yards from Tyler Buchner. And I don't care how it is done, whether it's all passing, whether it's a combination of passing and rushing, 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Shout out to our former co-host, Ethan. So give me a 303 game this weekend, Tyler Buchner. On the defensive side of the ball, I want to see a bigger game out of Isaiah Foskey. I didn't see what I wanted to see from the guy last week. He's going to be one of the staples of this defense this year, and I want to see him create havoc in that, force turnovers, force Henry Columbia to throw the ball early, create some turnovers for that secondary as well, because this is one of those games that just as much as the offense is going to eat, I expect the defense to eat, especially considering what they did last week against a top 10 opponent in Ohio State. Arguably going to be one of the best offenses this year with Heisman candidate C.J. Stroud leading the storm. So defensively, I got Foskey. Offensively, I got Buchner. Special teams, I'll go Tyree on special teams. I'll see a return this week. Why not? Give me a punt or a kick return, even though he doesn't return punts. So we'll say give me a kick return. But I will say it's going to be Chris Tyree with that return. Like I said, final score preview, 52-14. I got Notre Dame covering it. May not be as bad as that, but they'll definitely cover 3 touchdowns. And I have them scoring over 36.5 points. And let's find a way to win a football game, get back in the win column. We'll be back with you guys on the other side of this game to break down what happens this weekend against Marshall. And then we'll get you ready for our week 3 opponent. But with that being said, this was Irish on Tap presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300, and you can follow our main account at OnTapIrish. We'll be back with you guys midweek next week. We really appreciate you for listening, and go Irish.